Hello and welcome to the nation's highest rated radio show.
Whoopee!
The Courageous Flunkenspiel and Friends. I'm Danielle Flunkenspiel.
And I'm Arielle Kabuta-Babin. We are the hosts of the only radio show on the air that deals strictly with the courage as a factor of life. Today we're going to mix it up a little and talk about a book that deals with courage as a theme.
That's right, Arielle. The book To Kill a Mockingbird is by Harper Lee, and one of the most obvious themes is courage. We will be introducing a number of guests to talk to us about courage represented in the novel. But first, let's begin, as usual, with Tyler Kissefrog, defining the meaning of courage. Ty?
Thanks, Danielle. According to my latest dictionary, the American Heritage Dictionary, which is popular among high school English professors, the word courage is defined as the quality of mind that enables one to face danger with self-possession, confidence, and resolution. This basically means that a person is able to be brave in the face of adversity.
Thank you, Ty.
I don't think his definitions actually help anyone, Danielle.
I know, they just confuse me more.
Anyway, let's call out our next guest, a professor of literature at the Oxford University, Amanda Watanabe.
Thank you, Arielle. I'm so happy to be here.
Not at all. So, what will you be sharing with us today about the courage in To Kill a Mockingbird?
Well, I know a lot about the book because I've studied it so much. But my favorite example of courage lives within Atticus Finch, the father of Scout and Jem. He in himself is a courageous figure because of the hardships he endures and how gracefully he does so. One of the most obvious examples is the fact that he takes Tom Robinson's case without dutifully and without complaint.
Wait a minute. Does that mean just because he's a lawyer, he's a symbol of courage?
Well, yes and no. Yes, because every case is difficult, but no, because this case Atticus has taken on is a case that most men during his time period would have turned down. Atticus is a white man, but Tom Robinson is black. You see, in those days, black men were considered inferior to white men, and while today it seems like a ridiculous notion, the people of that era adhered to a very strict code of conduct about black men. I'm sorry, my throat. So when Atticus took on Tom Robinson's case, he was being very courageous, not just because he was defending a very difficult case, but because he was also breaking one of the most significant rules in his society.
Wow. So do you have any direct examples of his courage?
Oh, hundreds. But since time is short, I'll only bring up one point. On many occasions throughout the novel, Atticus says, "It is not time to worry yet," or a similar variation. This shows his courage to stand up in the face of any peril and be able to put a positive spin on the situation. He basically takes a half-empty glass and makes it half full.
Well, he sounds amazing. Thank you for your insight, Amanda.
Of course, anytime.
Our next guest is Jamie Fritzofrenic, a novelist, a literature enthusiast who has been rumored to have helped write parts of the English dictionary. What do you have to tell us, Jamie?
Well, first of all, those rumors about the dictionary are only rumors. However, when you ask about To Kill a Mockingbird, I must say my specialty lies in Jean Louise, or Scout, Finch.
Okay, tell us about her courage.
How she displays courage in the novel. Well, she is the youngest child and only daughter of Atticus Finch and the sister of Jeremy, or Jem Finch. She, because of the time in which she grew up, is a walking billboard for courage in her time period simply because she is a strong female. The fact that she often refuses dresses with preference to the overalls that her brother wears is one fine example that occurs throughout the novel. Also, due to her age, she does not know very much about the world she lives in. Therefore, naturally, she asks questions. For example, on page 161, she very bluntly asks her brother, "Jem, what's a mixed child?" She does not know that this might be considered a touchy subject or even that it might be rude, but still she asks, and in a child that age, that is quite a show of strength.
It's as if she's trying to talk, but I just don't understand.
Just smile and nod, I swear, she doesn't stop talking.
Well, thank you, Jamie, for that interesting reveal. Let's move on to our next guest.
No problem. You can invite me back anytime. I've read most of what you talk about on here.
Right. Next, we have Linda Talklot, who majored in literature at Princeton University before going into advertising. What kind of advertising do you do, Linda?
Oh, I'm not really a normal person who talks really fast about commercials, so the company can say what the consumers told everything, but they weren't supposed to. But even though there's no way anyone could have really heard it, but that's not the point. The point is, well, actually I said it, but whatever. It was said, so they can't be sued.
Wow. You talk really, 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 really fast.
Yeah, I'll try to slow down, but it comes with the job. I can't even help it anymore. That's just the way everything comes out now. Anyway, wasn't I supposed to talk about something?
Oh, yes. You're supposed to talk about courage as a theme to kill a mockingbird, but can you just try to go a little slower this time?
Sorry. Oh, yeah. I remember. I read that in high school. No, it was college. Wait. It was high school. Yeah. Because I had Barnes and Noble steal those weird podcasts, or was it that my lit teacher at Princeton? I don't remember. Maybe it wasn't.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, yeah. So I read that in high school. When I studied it and get in college, that's what it was. I remember. But yeah, I remember I was always interested in Jem. He was really courageous most of the time, but just because he was Atticus' older son and also because he was Scout's big brother. But those aren't the only reasons he was brave. He was also brave in the swamp part. Wait, what page is it? Hang on. Oh, okay. I got it. I know. Page 62. That's it. Anyway, so there's this part on page 62 where Jem says, "Mr. Radley, did you put some in the hole down in the tree down yonder?" And he's showing courage there because he is talking to someone who he really doesn't know, but someone who he has heard creepy stories about. Plus, the question is, the question he's asking isn't exactly something he'd want a lot of people to find out about why he's asking, because then they'd all want to know why he cared about the tree, and then he'd have to tell everyone about the stuff he and Scout found and all this stuff, and it'd just be too difficult.
Thanks. Linda, can you go now, please?
Oh, okay, sorry. Thanks for having me. And I always remember when you hear those commercials. I remember. NyQuil, the sniveling season coffee, achy, stubby head fever, the best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine.
Oh, my God. On to our next guest, and thankfully our last guest, a recent graduate from Stanford University and supposedly a To Kill a Mockingbird expert, Kevin Banana Hammock.
Hi, Danielle. I don't know about expert, but I definitely know a lot. If anything, I'm an expert on Tom Robinson, the wrongly accused and greatly abused mockingbird.
Oh, you mean that mockingbird thing is a metaphor?
Of course. Anyway, I think he's an all too often overlooked aspect of this book. Yes, a trial is there for his defense, but most people don't stop to think about him as an actual character. He probably shows the most courage of anyone else in the book. It is his actual life on the line after all. A perfect example of this courage is when he's attempting to swear his oath at the beginning of chapter 19. His arm is shriveled and he is being unfairly tried in a court full of racists. Yet he still tries to obey the rules and place what is left of his left arm on the Bible to swear his honesty. The direct quote to show that he took the oath is simply, "Tom took the oath and stepped into the witness chair." This is from page 190. By the way, what greater courage is there than to testify honestly in your own defense at a court trial that you know you won't win?
Danielle. Wake up!
Danielle, wake up!
Oh, sorry. How long was that?
Like 5 minutes.
You're kidding.
Just go.
What greater courage indeed. Thank you, Kevin.
Anytime, Danielle. Ariel.
Well, that's our show for today. Join us again, the courageous Funkenspiel and friends. Remember, I'm Danielle Funkenspiel.
And I'm Ariel Kabutababer. Have a good day, everyone.
I'm officially calling Oprah back and telling her that I'll gladly make her coffee just to get off this gig.
Let me be there when you call her and mention me too.
When in Rome.